Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every week, every match from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the round 14 punting preview, as well as a mini recap of Origin 1, which was last night. Don't worry, guys, I'm a Queenslander, so I won't spend too long talking about that Origin match. We'll have a quick post-mortem. Round 13, we went 1-1 on best bets. We also won the mixed matchup at $2.40 with the Dragons to outscore the Panthers last week, and the Dragons put on about 50 more points than the Panthers, so that was nice at least. We didn't have a multi last week, which is a shame because I was actually 4 of 4 on my leans of the four matches. So we're still down 6 units on multis this year, yet to really hit a big one, being pretty selective when we're putting them on. We're 65% on best bets, and if you'd had 100 on every best bet and mixed matchup this year, you are up $1,645 profit, and that's including a $100 loss that I'm counting from last night. My tip, which wasn't really a best bet or technically a mixed matchup, but look, it was a $2 tip, odds tip that I endorsed on Top Sport that I said would be as good value as the mixed matchup. I'll talk about that in just a second, but straight away, I'll give you guys what you really want, which is my best bets for round 14. I have 5 of them. Now, I will say straight up, challenging round. It's a guessing game with every single match, like who is going to back up. Of course, I've been following all the news today to get a guide, but, one bit of advice I would give you guys, I record this as close to the premiere window as I can, but as you guys have probably experienced in the last month, a couple come to mind where I've tipped the Sharks, and then literally like as the pod is premiering, the news comes out, Johnson isn't playing. Or I tipped the Knights +6.5 in North Queensland and people were messaging me going, oh, sweet, I found even higher odds than your best bet. And that never makes me feel good because I always know something's wrong. In that case, Bradman Best had been ruled out 5 minutes into the pod. When there's a lot of uncertainty, look, that's not always something to complain about. That makes life difficult for the bookies as well. We're going to try and use that in our favor this week. But all I can suggest is, you know, just check NRL.com or check the news just before you put any of these bets on, just because you never know what the very latest news is. But in saying that, I am going to try and put a couple of bets on teams where I anticipate their opponent could have some stars sitting out. So that's going to begin with taking the Cronulla Sharks +6.5, $1.85 on Top Sport, and they host the Panthers. Now, my guess is that Coruscant, who didn't actually play last night, and Liam Martin, who played limited minutes, will rejoin the 17 from the Blues, the side that lost last week for Penrith. The Sharks are coming into this game. They've had back-to-back wins. They're also off a bye. I really feel Sean Johnson is a huge difference maker that may not be appreciated. Plus, you got them at home. You got Cronulla that I've spoken about are not out of the finals hunt at all. This really is a winnable game because we've seen Penrith are not the same team, clearly without all their stars. And look, Penrith weren't as bad as the final score suggested last week. I talked about that in the recap, but still, it's a different animal that is actually beatable. I'm not necessarily saying Cronulla will win, but they have a good chance. But just that I see this as a really good match, very intriguing, potentially very tight, and I've got to take Cronulla with over a converted try, even though I'm taking that small risk that more Penrith stars will play. I just can't see why they would risk it. Moving to Saturday, when the Rabbitohs host the Knights, my best bet is under 4.5 tries in the first half. That's $1.86 on Top Sport. Again, this bet is going to be aided if we get some stars sitting out. You're looking at the Rabbitohs, you've got Latrell, Cam Murray, Damien Cook. I'd love for one or two of them to get rested. There's no guarantees on that. We're in that kind of no man's land of 3 days to back up. It's hard on the body, but it's not impossible either. So look, the Knights were awful last week. And the truth is, until they get Kalen Ponga back, until they get Mitchell Pearce back, and now they're missing Frizzell, the attack is not going to get a lot better. But what I know can get better is their defense, which was deplorable last week. But you look at a week earlier, they did hold Manly to, I think, 10 points. And so while their output, the Knights' output in scoring has been low, I think if they bring it in defense, they can at least tighten the game up. And the other reason I'm playing the first half under is something I've noticed this season with the new rules. There's been plenty of blowouts. Could this game be a blowout Rabbitohs win? It certainly could. But even if that's the case, it's been a lot more common that the points have kind of flooded in the second half when the fatigue and everything is mounted and the pressure, and it kind of breaks open second half. So we have seen these underdogs, if they can keep a game close, they usually have to start well. And I also figure you could play plus 8.5 with the Knights first half, and I quite like that as a bet. That's $1.88 lads and neds. But I figure if there's more than 4 tries in this first half, that's really what you'd classify as a high scoring match. And high scoring means it probably suits the bunny. So I think Knights' best chance to keep this close is to keep it tight. So that's my theory there, that the Knights at least can show some effort and make this a grind of an affair against Souths. And we have that chance that maybe the Souths won't be at full strength. It's already official that Jai Arrow is having a rest for this one. And Gagai as well is definitely out for this one for Souths. We'll see about the other 4 Origin players they've got and what they do there. Moving to my next best bet Saturday night, I'm taking the Raiders -7.5, $1.84 on Sportsbet in their other markets. They host the Broncos, starting with Origin. They've only got 1 Origin player, the Raiders, and that's Jack Whiten, who played very limited minutes, so I'm almost certain he's going to return to his team. Another huge inclusion is Josh Papali's back from suspension. I think a big benefit coming off the bye, and being at home, it'll be cold, just how the Raiders like it. I think that's going to right a few of the wrongs and do them some good. We know what a tough season this has been for Canberra. Similar to Cronulla, their season is not over, but it is over if you can't win a home game against Brisbane. So I expect the Raiders to take care of business here. Brisbane are off a poor performance against St. George. You're always wary that a team can improve off a bad performance, but I think that match revealed the truth that the Broncos are a long way off being even an average side. Carmichael Hunt is going to debut. That doesn't scare me, to be honest. I do expect Payne Haas and Xavier Coates to back up. I still just don't see a lot of points in this Brisbane team. Therefore, I think Canberra wins comfortably, so I'm happy to lay -7.5. And finally, 2 best bets on the last game of the round, which is on a Monday. I'm taking the Bulldogs +6.5 in the first half at $1.88 and +14 for the match at $1.90. Both those bets are available on Ladbrokes and Neds, and they host the Dragons, if I didn't mention that. These teams met only like 5 weeks ago. The Dragons did win that game comfortably, although it was somewhat tight early. I kind of like taking a team in a rematch when they've been beaten by that opponent recently. I also like the spots for the Dogs in the sense that they're off a bye again. They've got no Origin players, so no disruption whatsoever. Just a full long prep for this one. You're at home, like no excuse whatsoever not to rip in. Now, St. George has won twice in the last 2 months, but their only wins are against the Bulldogs and against Brisbane, and both those games were home games for St. George. What have they done to really prove to us that they're better than an average team? And if they're not, and I see St. George, if I had to guess, probably like around the 12th or 13th best side in the competition. I just think they've overperformed a little bit this year. I don't think they should be over 2 converted tries favourite on the road, and you consider that Zach Lomax is still not back in this side. So when I look at those teams up and down, of course I agree with most people that Dragons are the stronger outfit, Dragons should win, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Dogs go close in this one. And I don't think Canterbury are significantly worse than Brisbane. And you look at Brisbane was like an 8-point underdog in St. George last week. Why is the line 6 points higher for Canterbury, who's off a bye? So I'm confident enough to jump on that with 2 plays. Okay, let me know what you guys think about my best bets and what your best bets are. Of course, let's quickly talk about Origin. Now, I'll just say straight away, it was a horrible result for me in a lot of ways, because I did my preview. I talked about how I leaned New South Wales in terms of the handicap. I leaned to overs. I fancied it as a high scoring game. So then I was looking for bets like the New South Wales team total over 22.5, or play New South Wales race to 20. And then I just wussed out of it, and I should have shared it. I talked about how I just didn't quite have that conviction. And I kind of confessed to you guys as well that I do really struggle finding best bets for Origin as well. Even though we've done outstanding in the past with our Origin tips, it's really hard to remove the bias, and I really don't want to go against my state, but I cost us there by not, you know, backing those leans with enough conviction. And the one play I did give out was for us to get 3 tries from a group of 6 players that you probably saw in my preview. It was all 4 wingers plus Luai and Munster. We got 2 tries from To'o in the first 26 minutes. We're a huge favourite to just get one more try from any of those 6 players in the final, you know, 55 minutes of the match. and we don't. And instead, how many tries were scored by centers last night? Tommy had three, Latrell had a couple, Capewell got one as well. So that hurt as well. The one tip I do give out losers, even though there was, what, nine or so tries in the match. And if that all wasn't enough of a slap to the face, I'm a Queenslander and my team lost by 50. So I feel pretty shit about that. I lay in bed thinking, why didn't I back New South Wales and all that? But I guess you're going to drive yourself crazy if you second guess every tip, especially after the fact. And you know, the thing is about Origin, it always leaves half of us unhappy. I think in the past I've spent pods celebrating great performances from Queensland. So let's stop being negative and let's say congratulations to New South Wales, because that was a performance worth celebrating. In terms of how they did it, it was pretty much that huge edge that they exercised that I spoke about being the New South Wales back five. They were ridiculous and led by Tommy Turbo. He was so good that he was too good for our bet because he was beating everybody, never even needed to pass outside him to Adokar. I know that costs a lot of people who, anybody who would have thought New South Wales would put up 50 would have expected at least one try from the Fox. It wasn't to be. Latrell, arguably his greatest performance in an Origin arena as well. And it made me think, you look back at that dominant era of Queensland winning 10 of 11 series, and we say, well, of course they did. They had Smith, Cronk, Thurston, Inglis, Slater. Well, in a few years' time, are we going to look back at this New South Wales era and say, well, of course they won all those matches. They had Cleary, Trbojevic, Mitchell, Tedesco. You know, I'm not saying those guys have the same career achievements as what, you know, some of those immortals or future immortals do for Queensland. But they're amazing players that New South Wales has at the moment in this crop. And those guys have got a lot of years ahead. Who knows what the future holds for them. Another point I wanted to make. Nobody seems to be talking about players out of position now. It was everybody's narrative when New South Wales lost the series in November last year that it was because Freddie picked guys out of position. Tom Trbojevic isn't a centre. But the reason you do sometimes pick players out of position is because, of course, it's not ideal. You'd rather have specialists, especially if they star. But if you don't have a star in a certain specialist position, you want more stars in your team for the exact reason that you saw demonstrated by Turbo last night. And it really was a bit of a myth, the whole playing players out of position costs you. I mean, what did Queensland do last year? Won the series, and I saw Kurt Capewell playing centres. He's not a natural centre. I've seen New South Wales win the series before with Tom Trbojevic. He's had a hat-trick at centre before. They've played Jack Whiten in centres and won the series. So that was just a simplified point that people made last year to explain away the series. But one other thing about the series last year, of course Queensland won, but Queensland was not the better team. Queensland won the two tight games. And that was the difference. And really, they stole game one. And I think that that played a hand in last night's result. Maybe Queensland come into this game thinking they're better than New South Wales. Clearly, they weren't. New South Wales were clearly hungrier as well. It was really hard to say any of the Maroons had a good game. Of course, when you're on the back foot, it's hard for anybody to stand out. But that's where the game, I think, the platform was laid, that New South Wales won the battle in the middle of the field. And, you know, I was looking closely at Harry Grant early in that match, and I thought he was trying to spark Queensland. I'm not going to criticize him, but I just felt like when I watch Harry Grant play for Storm, I'm always watching him capitalize on opportunities, injecting himself at the perfect moment when a half chance arises, where it just felt like this was different. This was Harry Grant trying to force something because nothing was happening. As a New South Wales fan, you're going to be extremely pumped by the fact that Teddy didn't even do everything that we know he can do, really. He could probably be better. I think Angus Crichton comes off suspension, could arguably come into the team maybe for a Liam Martin. And Queensland won the set restart count 8-1. So how on earth have you won a game 50-4 and lost the set restart count 8-1. So that's all good for New South Wales. If I want to give a glimmer of hope to Queensland fans, and honestly, there's not a lot, but this is what I've come up with. There is a bit of footy to be played before game two. So we've got to acknowledge it may not be the exact same sides that line up. There's always going to be injuries, suspensions. Now, if you're a Queenslander, you're probably hoping that Cleary, Turbo, Latrell, Teddy all get suspended or something like that for game two, and then certainly Queensland would have a good chance. But realistically, Papali will come back into the team. Christian Welsh was out with an HIA after 12 minutes, didn't return. Ponga is questionable for game two, but that would be huge. And then if you had Ponga in there, you'd move Val to a wing, and you've instantly like added a match winner in the back line. Even if he's not available, you would assume Queensland will move AJ Brimson to fullback and Val to a wing. And again, it's not a knock on a guy like Felt who debuted, but He's not a player that swings a game, as we saw with the New South Wales back line. You want players that can turn a match. So that's why you want to jam-pack that back line with true match winners. Kalen Ponga definitely could be that. And other guys who could be match winners, Munster, Grant, you'd have to assume they'll be sharper, fitter going into game two. And I think Queensland must be relieved that this do-or-die game is at home. We all know it does still give them a better chance. How the hell Queensland's going to beat this New South Wales team in Sydney, I don't know, but they don't have to worry about that yet. They've only got to worry about game two. But there's not a lot of hope. I mean, it's really hard to see that happening at the moment. New South Wales, their poles apart at the moment. And it's quite crazy to see an Origin match, especially a game one, such a blowout. So scary times for Queensland. We've dished out a bit of punishment in the last kind of 10, 15 years, but we copped it. So hope you guys enjoyed it, at least New South Wales fans, because I felt humiliated and I'm still hurting. But that's enough Origin from me. Let's now throw to our sponsored segment from Top Sport to hear how the bookies actually did last night, as well as getting some insights into the markets and how they're shaping up for round 14.
Hello, Tripod family. As a Queensland fan, it wasn't great viewing last night, particularly when the punters were right on the money with all the New South Wales pushes and the push for the overs. So a bit of a sick and sorry result for the team at Top Sport, but most of it's been Queensland as well, which just rubs that extra bit of salt into the wounds. It'll be interesting to see what the market goes up. We're probably going to release the market tomorrow for game two. We just like to let the dust settle before we rush a market up, but you'd have to expect despite the game going to Suncorp, which has to help Queensland, the comprehensive nature of the way the match played out last night would have to indicate that the line has to be longer than what it started last night. And we'll see where it ends up. It'd be interesting to see if a few of the New South Wales guys that were suspended are going to force their way into the side, or if Freddie sticks with a side that was so dominant there last night. So a few little things for us to consider before we get that market up, but I would indicate, or I believe, that it's going to be a little bit more in favour of New South Wales from the get-go. This round coming up is a nightmare to price. This is always one of our hardest rounds to work out where to set the numbers at, because unlike the rounds prior to Origin, you don't really have a great gauge on if someone's going to back up or if they're not going to back up. There's that uncertainty there where, you know, they're named and they may not play, like in the Manly situation or the Panthers situation. They're not named and they're named on the extended bench, so there is that lingering, you know, thought that maybe they do come into the side. So as a result, there has been some sizable movements. The Cowboys have gone 9.5 into 6.5. So have Cronulla, 9.5 into 6.5. It hasn't really been through a huge amount of weight of money right at the moment. It's more so just trying to preempt where the players are going to be in and out. So it's a real tricky one. The punters haven't really stepped in just yet. We're the same. We're sort of keeping our powder dry at the moment. In terms of Jacob asked me about how we assess teams coming off a bye. It's sort of a case-by-case situation because you've got some teams that are coming off a bye, but they had a number of players involved or potentially involved in Origin if they're going to back up. So it's a difficult one to assess, and it's more so just trying to factor in how each individual team is going to be fresher from the experience, or if they're going to be, you know, have more games or more prep into their legs as well. So it's a real tricky one to give a black and white answer there. So it's all made up in the markets this weekend, where we're just trying to feel our way through this week. It's going to be a lot of movement as we get closer to the game when we know what the starting lineups are likely to be. So, my advice to all the punters out there is really keep an eye on all the news feeds on your Twitter over the next few days. If you can sort of get some intel, or you can read between the lines a little bit, that'll give you a bit of an edge this week in the punting. All right, guys, good luck over the weekend. And as always, gamble responsibly.
And just touching on what Tristan said there about the line for game two with Origin, that maybe they haven't opened their market. I actually saw Sportsbet came out straight away with a -5.5 on the Blues. And straight away, my instinct was that seems light on. And sure enough, within a few minutes, it was 6.5. And I think from what I've heard or seen, most of the bookies have got game two, New South Wales -7.5 in Queensland. So again, that's scary for Maroons fans. And Tristan also touched on the player uncertainty, as did I. So I'll just make one more kind of broad overall point. My personal opinion, with rugby league being such a brutal sport that has 24 rounds, the best players play Origin, so play their rep matches as well, and then of course finals. And what do we see every year? The teams that are successful are the ones that keep their squad relatively healthy into September. Therefore, I think the smartest way to play it is err on the side of caution always with your key players. It's not necessarily the case that every team thinks that. So I will often say I think a team should rest player A, B, C, but we've been burned in the past where we've bet against a side that we thought might rest players and then they didn't. But my general philosophy, if I have to guess, the teams that really believe they have a shot to win the comp, your Penrith, your Melbourne, and I'll throw Souths in there, I think those are the teams more likely to play it safe. They really are playing the long game. Whereas other teams that are more desperate for competition points don't have that luxury. I would be less surprised to see their key stars back up. And the other thing is, as well with this round, which I got Tristan to touch on, is the bye. The fact that we have teams coming off a bye. Now, Tristan didn't put a fixed value on it, but I will share with you, I really believe the bye is a big factor, and I make it worth 1 to 2 points in terms of point spread value. Let's begin. Tomorrow night, Manly hosts the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a 6.5-point underdog. So Manly is off a bye and off a bad loss to Newcastle. I know that Manly won't come in complacent whatsoever. In terms of personnel, I'll be shocked if Turbo backs up. Just the whale of a game he had and also his injury history. Whereas Jake Trbojevic, I expect he would play. He started for the Blues but played less than 30 minutes. I wouldn't play DCE if I'm Manly, but I'm hearing it's leaning more towards the fact that he will play. When you look at Manly's team, you've got Cade Cust in the reserves. You've got Dylan Walker and Moses Sully on the bench. And Foran is also back. So to me, that spells you've got plenty of cover for Turbo and DCE. But definitely Turbo, I'll be quite surprised if he plays. For the Cowboys, Felt's been ruled out. Holmes is basically a certain starter. And Hess was in the Queensland 20, but didn't take any part. So he's definitely in. Both these teams have won 6 of 12, but I feel like what we've seen out of Manly in the last couple of months, you kind of disregard that form before Turbo. So therefore, I feel like Manly's a lot more comfortable sitting at 6-6 because they know they can accelerate through the year. Whereas the Cowboys, I think, still need to tooth and claw for every win. And I think for them, it's going to come right down to the wire, whether they, you know, find themselves in the 8 at the end of the year. But right now, they are in there and they get a huge boost in Jason Taumalolo coming back from suspension. Also worth noting, Tom Dearden gets his club debut. That's a straight swap in for Clifford, who played last time at halfback. I think that gives the Cowboys a huge shot in this one. I think, I feel like they can win this one for sure. So I was very close to taking the points with the Cowboys. What's just going to keep me off it is if DCE does play for Manly and the fact that I know Manly will be kind of that in that situation of good team off a bad loss, they're at home and off a bye. So I've just steered away from fading Manly in this one, but my lean would be to the Cowboys. Next match, the Sharks host the Panthers. A good one for us on Friday night footy. And you've heard my best bet. I mean, most bookies have got this at +6, but my best bet +6.5, $1.85 on TopSport. So it was a big win for the Sharkies last week. And now they're off a bye. And the only change is bringing Fifita onto the bench. What will Penrith do is the question. As we know, they lost by 20 last week, but not disgraced. Stephen Crichton gave an interview this week and kind of intimated that they'll be very sparing with their key players. They haven't named any of their Origin players in the 1-17. And as I said at the top, my guess would be Liam Martin, who played limited minutes off the bench, could easily slot into the side. And Appy has been named at 9 and didn't play yesterday as 18th man. So he's definitely going to be in. There's no way Nathan Cleary is going to play in this one after a big game and that big laceration on the cheek. I wouldn't play Luai. Let Burton have another go at 5-8. Capewell could use a rest. To'o apparently pulled up sore from that one. So, I mean, it's worth mentioning Leota will come back from suspension too. So this Penrith team will get a boost and deservingly should be the favourites in this game. And I'm sure a lot of the public are just thinking it's a simple one here. Let's take the Panthers to bounce back, knowing they're getting a few reinforcements. But the biggest thing for me is still the fact that this Sharks side, I believe, is underrated. I think Johnson is a huge difference maker in this team, and we've seen that now when he's had a couple of games under his belt back in this side. And I really feel this is going to be a great game. It could get decided by a great moment from a player like Sean Johnson or Matt Burton or Appy. But let's just take the over a converted try with the Sharks if we think it's going to be a tight game. Moving to Saturday, the Titans host the Roosters. I expect Brimson backs up for the Titans. He played off the bench for the Maroons. But in the recap, I did talk about the round 13 recap. I talked about how talented this Jaden Campbell is. So it has me wondering, how do you fit them both in the team? Like, is it longer term, do you move Brimson to a 5-8? But for this week, Campbell's actually back to the reserves and Brimson slated to play fullback. And then you've got three other forwards for the Titans, Fotuaika, Fasumalaawe, Fifita, who all played around an hour last night. And I assume that they'll each be assessed individually, but I assume that, you know, if they can play, they definitely will, because this Titans team can't muck around. They had a really tough loss last week. They pushed the Storm to the wire. If they'd executed better, they could have probably stolen that one. You get encouragement from the effort, but effort doesn't equal ladder wins. And if we look at the Titans, they've won, I think, 5 games this year out of 13. So you're playing the Roosters and you're a double-digit underdog. Next week, I'm trying to remember now, the Titans face Manly. The week after that, they're down in Canberra, and I've got a feeling there could be a little resurgence from Canberra. And the week after that, they play the Eels. So they're staring down the barrel of being like, what, 5 from 15? Like, they'll do well to win one or two of their next four and really fall away. So this is a big motivation spot for the Titans, but I'm not going to take them with the points as a best bet because it's actually a really good spot for the Roosters. Let's talk about them. They're off a bye. They don't actually have many Origin players. Why? Because Luke Keary, Boyd Cordner, Victor Radley, Collins, all sidelined. Tupo wasn't chosen this year. Angus Crichton suspended, so didn't get picked. There is only one Origin player in this Roosters team. It's Teddy. He's named, but I personally wouldn't play him. You've got Suali in the reserves. You know you can shuffle Manu back there. And they also bring back Sam Walker, who I think we know is an Origin player of the future, after being rested against the Raiders, plus Waria Hargrave's 250th. So many reasons for this to be a big performance for the Roosters. And when the Titans do win games or compete, it's always off the back of their forward pack. How can you be sure how good the Titans forward pack will be on Saturday when you don't know who's going to back up, or, you know, are those guys going to be 100% after pouring a lot of effort into Wednesday? So, and the thing is as well, Roosters actually have a really quality forward pack with, you know, some international players who are still rep level players. So I don't see that being an edge to the Titans. Therefore, I really think that the Roosters are going to win this game pretty comfortably. Even if Teddy doesn't end up playing, I still would say the Roosters win this game. So I haven't gone either way on a best bet for that one. Rabbitohs host the Knights also Saturday. And you've heard my best bet under 4.5 tries in the first half. $1.86 on TopSport. So the Rabbitohs are off the bye. They had a good performance last time they played where they beat the Eels comprehensively and silenced a few critics, because before that they'd had 50 put on them by Panthers and Storm. They've declared that Gagai and Arrow are definitely rested. You've still got Murray, Sua, Cook, Latrell to be assessed. And there's arguments for both ways whether they should or shouldn't play. Let's just leave it up in the air because I really can't say. But I won't be surprised if a few extra Origin players could be rested for this one, and that would greatly benefit us in terms of that underplay, because it would bring the game closer together and take away a bit of strike power for the Rabbitohs. If they all play, I've got to live with the play. I still don't think it's a bad one. We're going to be sweating a bit, and it's going to come back more down to the Newcastle side of the equation. Are they willing to rip into this one? I expect, again, Saifidi will play, because this is a Knights team that's on the outside looking in, that needs, you know, every result they can possibly get. They're not missing any other Origin players, but of course, Pierce, Ponga, Frizzell are all injured. Clifford had his club debut last week. Look, they were horrible as a collective, so it's hard to assess him. I definitely wouldn't be backing Souths. If you still like Souths in this one, don't touch them now. Wait till Saturday, because the only thing that can happen is key players get withdrawn for South. So this line will only come down, if at all, I reckon. So if you like Souths, just wait. If you like the Knights, you could probably take the points. I just couldn't quite get there because while I think they'll rebound from last week, and clearly I need that to be somewhat competitive for us to win that best bet, I can't be sure. They were so bad. And if they're a bit off the mark this week, this Rabbitohs team will make them pay. So I think this game could still be a Rabbitohs win by 20 plus, but it may be a bit tighter in the first half. That's the way I'm kind of predicting it, and that's why I've got my best bet just on the first half, so you don't have to sweat the Rabbitohs running riot second half. Another best bet coming up in the Raiders game where they host the Broncos, and the consensus line is 8.5, but I love getting that minus -$7.5, $1.84, because you're sacrificing 6 cents to get through the key number of 8. Again, Canberra is off the bye. Whiten, I'm sure he'll be back. Bailey Simonson has moved to fullback. Papali back in the team. Joe Tappanay also back from injury. Brisbane are not off the bye, but they do get that longer turnaround. Last time they played was 7 days ago, and by the time they kick off, it'll be 9 days. As we know, they lost to St. George. They weren't too impressive. Coates and Haas, assuming they pull up all right, they'll play, but there's always that chance that, you know, two players that had that played a lot of minutes last night could be out of this one. This is 14th versus 15th, so you could make an argument that for Brisbane, it's a huge game because they need to get some wins on the board, and not every game is winnable for Brisbane, but this Raiders team on their form of 2021, Brisbane could win. But I just think Raiders will be a bit stronger this week. As I said, I think the bye does them some good, a winnable game, a home game, and key star players and leadership back in the team does them a lot of good. Speaking of leadership, Carmichael Hunt is the latest in the kind of halves merry-go-round to have a ride there for Brisbane. So he slots into the team. He played for them 12 years ago. Kelly slides to halfback. I'm excited to see how Kay goes, but do I expect him to be good straight away at age 34? To be honest, no. Farnworth moves to starting fullback. Izako, after a shocker last week, gets dropped. And speaking of last week, I really see this game quite similarly. I think Raiders at home are comprehensively better than Brisbane. The best case scenario for Brisbane is probably keeping this tight. I don't see any scenario where Brisbane wins easy. And even in a tight game, Raiders could get home by more than 7.5. But I also see a scenario where the Raiders could towel them up. This is, as I mentioned before, this is a must win for the Raiders. So despite all the question marks that I guess you got to just be sure of, like the team unity, is Ricky burning them out? I think that they're going to overcome that one and win this one pretty well. Take the -7.5 sports bet. Other markets. On Sunday, the Warriors play the Storm at Gosford. The Storm are a 15.5 point favourite. New Zealand is off the bye and off that last minute loss to the Cowboys. They do get Fenua Blake back. Well, he's in the reserves, but I've heard if he gets through training this week, he's in. They lose Walsh. Reece Walsh is suspended, so RTS is back to fullback. Also, Eli Katoa is out and Tavanga is in the reserves. Now, on the Storm side of things with their rep players, you'd have to rule out Christian Welsh. Didn't get through the game because HIA won't have the time to get through the protocol. Harry Grant played 70 minutes. You wouldn't be sure. They've named him off the bench, so I guess they could just play Grant on the bench, play him a few minutes, let Brandon Smith have the bulk minutes there. Munster, Kalfusi, Adokar, they're all named. Keep in mind, this is a Sunday game, so it's realistic they could back up. Your guess is as good as mine because Storm has the luxury that they don't need to force anybody to play if they're not sweet. But of course, these guys could come back in the team. So it's a very hard one to know. I should mention Asofa Solomona, though. He is suspended. Kenny Bromwich had a rib injury but has been named. And still no Pappenhausen. So it's a fair bit of chopping and changing with this Storm team. But we've seen that no matter who's in or out, they all do their job. So you kind of know what you're going to get out of the Storm, even though even though the Gold Coast certainly gave them a scare last weekend. Overall, this is a team that gives a good account of themselves every weekend. Whereas with the Warriors, when I look at this game, I would be leaning to them with the points, but there's more question marks. It's like Reece Walsh has really sparked this team, but he's out. Katoa, Tavanga, these are quality players that are out. You know, Fenua Blake, how much impact is he going to have in his first game back? So I just can't be sure. The Storm has actually won 10 straight matches against New Zealand. Like, they clearly kind of do own them at this point. I won't play the big line on the Storm because it's the same advice that I'd give you guys if you like the Rabbitohs, if you like the Storm. No rush. Wait until the day and be confident that those key players are going to be in, because if you lay the big number now, there's only the chance that tomorrow's news is that Munster and Grant and stuff are going to sit out. So you'd play Warriors now or you'd wait till Sunday. I don't quite have the confidence to play Warriors now. We move on. The Eels host the Tigers at Wankbest Stadium. The Tigers are catching 11.5 points. Junior Paulo is named to start for Parramatta. Monitor that one. Joey Lussick has to come in and play hooker. Read Marnie out. Now, quickly, my opinion. I think bad job by Brad Arthur. And I'm not trying to say this in hindsight because Marnie got out, got injured. I really felt this before they even went into that Newcastle game. Reid Marnie has busted his ass, played outstanding footy, been huge, playing 80 minutes for the Eels for a couple of seasons, 2 or 3 years now. He gets picked for Origin. Really, you've got a game against the Knights, the depleted Knights, and you're going to ask for him to recall Marnie, take him out of Origin and out of that camp where he can learn and he can be part of the Queensland system. And I reckon he'd earned that. And you're going to make him play and basically remove his chance of possibly playing for Queensland, keeping in mind that Harry Grant had that lingering hammy and that Reid Marnie probably would have been 18th man. I think, you know, longer term, would it have killed the Eels? Like, yeah, sure, there's a chance that Marnie didn't play last week and then wouldn't have played last night. But worst case, you've given one of your key players a freshen up. So I thought, really, I guess it's because they felt a little bit desperate off two losses, but they made Marnie play and quite sad he did his shoulder right towards the end of the Knights game, where they did carve up the Knights, of course. Hayes Dunster is in at wing again because everybody looked good last week. Dunster got a couple of tries. So Fergo's still out. The Tigers also looked good last week. Mbai hurt his knee, but he's expected to play. Ofengawi is another one where they'll wait and see how he pulls up. McKaylee is out. Now, the Wests have won two games in a row, but you have to, of course, say they caught Penrith at a very fortunate time. And they actually also caught the Dragons at a very fortunate time with key players out, and the Dragons were in a tough spot as well. So give West some credit, not too much credit. This is a rematch, this Eels-Tigers game. They met on Easter Monday, if you remember, and it was a pretty crazy one because the Tigers had a late lead, could have won. Instead, the Eels came back and then scored on the final play where the Tigers were trying to regather a dropout. And the Eels ended up covering the line there, and that was brutal for everyone who took the points with the Tigers on that day. So that line on that day was about 9.5, maybe minus 10 to Para, and it's pretty much the same line or a little bit higher. So I don't see us getting any value with Para when you've got like Reid Marnie out, especially with the Tigers showing that there's a little bit of fight in them. But I also won't play West this week, because I think their last two opponents have made them look better than they truly are. Yeah, they did well to get the wins, but as I explained, they met opponents really good weeks to meet them. But finally, a game I do have confidence on, so I'm taking the Bulldogs against the Dragons. Line 13.5 from pretty much everywhere, except Ladbrokes and Neds, we get plus 14, $1.90. So that's my best bet, as is plus 6.5, Bulldogs first half, $1.88. As I mentioned at the top, the undisrupted prep. No Origin players, clearly, when you're dead last and you've won 1 from 12. But this is as good a position as they're going to be in, pretty much the Bulldogs. Marshall King comes back into the team from injury. In terms of Dragons, they've only got one Origin player, Tarek Sims, with a 5-day turnaround because this is a Monday game. Sure, he's probably going to play. So I don't think that they're going to have too many key guys out, although I mentioned there's still no Zach Lomax in this team. Look, great performance by St. George to obviously comprehensively beat Brisbane, but it was only Brisbane. And that's why I just think across the park, whilst the Dogs are, you know, clearly not as good as St. George, I don't see the gap in these teams being that big. You guys know St. George was my bet of the week last week and they scored 52 points. But the reality is I still don't reckon they are that great. So I'm willing to take the Dogs to make this a competitive match, and we're getting more than enough points, I reckon. That's why I like both of those best bets. And I will also dip into this game for the mixed matchup. It's the second part of it. It's going to involve the Broncos game and this game. So we're going to take Bulldogs to outscore Brisbane in round 14, and it's paying $2.75. You can have up to 200 on that on Top Sport. If you need to join, the promo code is TRIPOD. Why do I like it? Well, I've kind of explained it already, because I'm all over the Bulldogs for a couple of best bets and I'm going against Brisbane. I don't see a lot of points for Brisbane in a cold night in Canberra against the Canberra team. I think it's going to be really determined, and Brisbane yet again shaking up their spine. And as we move to the Monday game, it's a day game. Look, Dragons could defend pretty well here, but the Bulldogs, just with all that time to prep, with Marshall King back at nine, I think that they can play a bit of footy in this one. Trent Barrett kind of gets that little bit more time to work on areas and deficiencies, and there's plenty. Dogs are fielding close to the strongest lineup that they've been able to field all year. And I think you got to score a few points to hang in any match in 2021. That's what I reckon the Dogs can do. In terms of value. Both these sides are predicted, probably Dogs are probably predicted to score closer to 16 and Broncos 18. So that's why we are an underdog in this market. But I like our chances that the Dogs won't have to chase too many points when it comes to that second game. And $2.75, pretty good value for me. I think I've spoken about how we've done exceptionally well in these mixed matchup bets so far in 2021. I hope that continues. That match being on a Monday, I've had to think about it. I think I'll still do the live recap on Sunday night after seven of the matches have taken place. Thanks for tuning in this whole time. This has probably been my biggest show so far this year in terms of how long we've gone, but we had lots of ground to cover. Good luck with all your punts this weekend. Let me know what your best value bets of the weekend that you're seeing, or interact with me on anything that you found interesting in the show. As always, gamble responsibly and Lego.